Mastermind Agent is proud to present Success Calls. Top real estate agents from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the calls at www.mastermindagent.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Cerrone with Mastermind Agent. This month's top agent is Les Walden with Les Walden Real Estate in Seneca, South Carolina. Last year, he closed 141 transactions with a total sales volume of $22 million. His average sales price was $159,000, of which 42% were buyers and 58% were sellers. He operates a team with 5 members, 2 buyer specialists, 1 listing coordinator, 1 closing coordinator, and 1 team leader. Les Walden is the team leader of the Les Walden Real Estate Team. He has been an agent for 17 years. He works the upstate South Carolina market. In his best year, 2006, Les sold 194 homes worth $30 million. He sold over 2,000 homes in his career. In this call, Les talks about relationship lead generation that creates 2/3 of his business, how he makes friends and money at the same time, the revelation that made his business more successful and more enjoyable, his super profitable business model with a 72% net profit margin, database segmentation into 3 groups, Target 25, Hit List, and Connectors, his marketing schedules for each database group, scripts and dialogues for Sphere of Influence calls, details about his 2 annual client appreciation events, Floatapalooza and Santa Claus Party, team structure and compensation, including profit sharing, transparency, open book management, and more. Welcome to the call, Les.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that introduction.
Les, before we talk about what you're doing now, let's go back for a minute and talk about what you did before you got into real estate.
That's interesting. I attended Clemson University, graduated. That's down here in South Carolina, of course, and graduated with a degree in marketing, and then went, as most college graduates do, into the corporate world, into sales. Did that in the South Carolina, North Carolina region, and was actually in media sales. So it was quite an interesting introduction to working with the public and how to get them to spend money.
How long did you do that?
About 3.5 years after graduating from college. And I was in the Charlotte, North Carolina area doing that, which is near where I grew up. Actually, what happened is as I was perfecting that skill, so to speak, of dealing with people and finding out what they needed, and then in turn how I could satisfy that need for them, I started realizing that the efforts I was putting in to be successful in what I was doing, I didn't personally believe I was being rewarded adequately for that. I'll say that in a simpler way. I didn't think I was being paid enough. So as I noticed the amount of money I brought into the company, and then what I was doing to increase those numbers, my pay didn't reflect it. So I started becoming a little disgruntled in that and started saying, okay, I got to figure out something I can do to work for me and make all my efforts reward me, not necessarily everyone else. And after just kind of looking around, I was still doing this job and in the media sales and still doing very well, but I was on a weekly basis studying different industries to figure out what I could do that would use my skills to the fullest, and then at that point pay me for what I was worth. And after about 8 months of research, I found that I thought real estate offered that opportunity.
Did you start real estate full-time or part-time?
I actually started full-time when I decided to make the change after about 8 months of research, and I not only moved from the Charlotte, North Carolina area, I moved back to the Clemson area, which is about 2 hours away, made that move, and with that transition, of location, I changed careers and started full-time. My first year was 1995, and it was the best decision I ever made. The previous year, and I don't mind giving you a few numbers, the previous year in the corporate job I had, I made $53,000, and I didn't think that was too awful bad, but in 1995, my first full year in real estate, I made $125,000. So at that point, I was hooked.
So it sounds like you had a fast start.
I did. I took the skills I had been developing in the corporate sales world and moved them into the world of real estate. So I didn't mind calling on people, and I didn't mind pursuing opportunities, and I did not mind getting out and meeting people, and so and approaching it from the angle of how can I help them? Were they looking to buy property? Were they looking to sell property? What can I bring to the table to help them accomplish their goals? And that was really what I'd been taught to do and was perfecting in the corporate world. So I hit the ground running very quickly and didn't mind getting out and letting people know what I did.
How long have you been in the business?
Well, 95, and I guess this would be 2013, so I'm in that 17, 18-year range.
How many homes did you sell last year?
We sold 115 coming out of the recessionary period. I'm in a very, very small rural market. Most of your listeners may know of Clemson University. I don't sell a lot to students. So I work in two primary areas, Clemson, South Carolina, and Seneca, South Carolina. The two cities combined have 20,000 people. So I do work a little bit outside of those areas, but very small rural market. But we closed 115 transactions last year for a little over $20 million. To put that in perspective, believe it or not, there's almost 1,700 realtors in my market. And we were number one by a little more than 50% as much, again, as the next person.
And how many homes have you sold in your career?
Well, a little over 2,000 now. it's really getting kind of fun because there's very few areas or communities or subdivisions that I could go into now in my market that I can't point at a few homes and say, well, I've sold that one. Oh, I've sold that one too. So it's really getting fun now as I go through the area and can think back on, oh, yeah, I remember selling that property. That was a great one. Or, wow, we had a little issue getting that one closed, but we got it closed. And so it's really getting to be a lot of fun.
If you've sold 2,000 properties and you got a population of 20,000, you've worked with about 10% of the people in your area.
At least 10% of the people in my area, yeah. And I would tell you that at this point, through using several of the strategies that I've used for quite some time now from the beginning of my career, most people in my market look at me as a more recognizable figure than mayors, than local politicians, than just about anybody here. I can walk into a room and more people in the room would know who I was than if the mayor of either town walked in.
Maybe you should run for mayor.
Well, let's just, after seeing what just went on during this political season, let's just, I think we'll steer clear of politics right now. So people seem to want to say bad things about you, unfortunately, when you run for office. So right now, I think the majority of people around my area think positively of me, so I'd like to keep it that way if I can.
Les, how many homes did you sell in your best year, and what year was that?
That was 2006, which is probably what when most people around the country can relate to, either 05 or 06. We closed 194 transactions that year, just a shade over $30 million in production. It was a wonderful, wonderful year for us, and we just had a great time doing the same things that we're doing now with some modifications, but our systems work in any type of climate or market. And really what I like about our systems is they don't cost you a lot of money to produce. I'm not spending tons and tons and tons of money on on marketing stuff. I have strategies that generate a lot of leads for us that don't cost you a lot of money.
You mentioned where Seneca and Clemson, South Carolina are. Could you describe your current real estate market?
We are in a very rural area. If you think about the state of South Carolina being a big piece of pie, the way it's shaped, I'm as far west in South Carolina as you can be and still be in the state. I'm right up against the Blue Ridge Mountains, and we have a lot of lakes around us. The reason I bring that to your attention is we really were not impacted like a lot big parts of the country were in the recession, meaning we didn't lose a lot of value. Now, our values were not going up by 50% in 12 months either, but we didn't fall off. We fell off a total of about 20% tops, and we've been pretty flat after an initial drop. So our market has been kind of trucking along the same. Our average sales price in the market here is around $145,000. My team averages a little bit higher than that, not from an intentional standpoint, but we can focus on some properties that tend to bring a little more average sales price. So we do average slightly more than that. We have about a 50% retirement population here, being so close to the mountains. We have a lot of lakes here that draw a lot of people from all over the country, but in particular the Northeast. And it's just a great place to be. We have Clemson University in our backyard, and it provides some entertainment if you do live here. I mean, when I say entertainment, they have an on-campus art center that bring in shows. We have, of course, the sports, football, basketball, baseball, any sports you'd want to watch, soccer. Those are all here. So there's a lot of things to do, and we do have four distinct seasons, but none of them are very extreme. So we do have a winter, but our average daytime temperature is 50 degrees in the winter. We do get down in the 30s at night, but it's not too awful bad. Our average daytime temperature in the summer is around 89 degrees. So if we have those seasons, and people enjoy that. If you've been up north and you have to fight the snow and all that, you don't have to do that here.
Your average days on the market right now?
Right now in our market, we're looking at about 125 days average, which is about where we've been for the last 2 or 3 years, give or take a week, we'll say.
Do you see your pricing trending up, down, staying flat?
It's relatively flat. What I see happening in my market over the next few years is we're going to start a gradual increase, but it will be very gradual. I don't see a 12-month cycle returning us 15 or 20%. We're probably looking at 5, 6% on an annual basis. But I do believe we have certainly hit the bottom. We bounced off of the bottom a little bit, meaning that we go up and down. I've described it to different organizations as a sawtooth recovery. We see a good month, and then we're back down just a little bit. And then we see another good month, and if you were to graph that out, it would kind of look like a saw blade. But I think it's going to actually start on a gradual, consistent increase, but not quickly. We're not going to have big jumps.
If you were to look out at your overall market right now, what percentage of the sales are retail or traditional sales versus REO and short sales?
Right now, and we're very fortunate here, 75 to 80% of our sales are just traditional retail sales. We have pretty much cleaned our market and are continuing to clean our market of foreclosures, bank-owned properties, or short sales. We did not get hit like a lot of areas did, primarily because when 50% of our market moves in, they're retiring from another part of the country, and they're typically bringing cash. And, you know, I'll get calls now from people who say, oh, I want a bank-owned property. I say, well, you know, it's real hard for a bank to foreclose on a waterfront home when the owner paid cash for it. So we didn't get hit as hard with those, and we're clearing that out pretty quickly, which, of course, will help in that gradual increase of pricing.
Do you have a niche or a specialization?
Well, when you're in a market as small as mine, you don't want your niche to be too small, because there's not enough business to keep you busy or to provide a satisfactory income level. So So, but if we have a, my team does have a niche, but it is just residential properties. We'll sell, it's not uncommon for my team to sell a $100,000 house in the morning and a $1 million house in the afternoon.
Please list the different ways that you generate leads in business.
And this is something I really hope your listeners will pay attention to, because I've used this for years and years and years, and it works beautifully. And you don't have to spend a bunch of money. There's new agents getting into the business that maybe don't have a huge marketing budget. And there's agents that have been in the business that because of what happened with the financial crisis have not had great years in this industry for the last few years and maybe don't have huge marketing budgets. And then you may have older agents in the business that just don't want to spend that amount of money anymore. Maybe they're thinking, well, I want to retire in a couple of years, so I need to keep as much of my money as I possibly can. And so what I focus on with myself and my team, and I have a small team. I have two buyer specialists, a listing coordinator, a closing coordinator, and myself. So we're not a huge team, but we focus on what we call relationship lead generation. And my belief is 66% of your total business, if you have a healthy business, should come from this side of your business, the relationship lead generation. And what does that mean? Well, we identify on my team, each person on my team, whether you're on the support side of the business or on the selling side of the business, we identify groups of people. The first one is we call our target 25 or our T25 group. And please understand the number is completely arbitrary, but we strive on our team to have 25 of these people per person. And what they are is the person that you may describe as your very best friend or the person that you know has your back no matter what happens to you in your life. If you're driving down the road and have a flat tire, who are you going to pick the phone up and call that you know will come there? That person has your back all the time. And so if they have your back in those situations, it stands to reason that if you're doing the right things by those people, that any time they run into someone else in their sphere of influence and that person needs real estate advice, they're going to tell that person to call you. They're going to almost force them to call you. And so those people are in what we call our target 25, and we communicate with those people on a regular basis. And I'll go back to how we communicate with them. The next group of people is what we call our hit list. Now, this doesn't mean these are people we want to go out and shoot. You could also change that name to help list. And these are people that maybe you've met but don't really have a relationship with. People that you may have a different type of relationship with. You may go to dinner out and see these people on a regular basis or be in some type of church club or something where you do see them, but it would not be the person you'd pick up the phone and call if you were having an issue. They're not in that inner circle, the closest inner circle. Those people, we have a different program that we use to communicate with them, and we want to try to get those people and move them into our target 25 where that we know day in, day out, if those people run into someone else that has a real estate need, they're going to tell them about our team. And then the third group, and this group of folks are by no means would you not do business with them, but they are the people in your community that we call connectors. And these are the people that maybe you've caught yourself saying, well, gosh, that person knows everybody. Or that person, gosh, they're this person or that person. And you feel like they are community influencers. Maybe some local politicians, maybe some local church leaders. Personally, in my group, I have local human resources directors for some of the industry in our area. Those all fit into the connectors because they know people. And what you want to try to do with them is get their influence. So again, all of these three groups, what you're trying to accomplish is when they are in their life, in the heat of battle, as I like to say it, in their busy lives, that they're going to, if they run across someone that has a real estate question or a real estate need, they're going to tell that person to call you. We, through those relationships, is how we generate 66% of our business. And it doesn't cost anything. All it costs is a little bit of your time and a plan. That's it. It doesn't cost you, you're not going out and buying billboards. You're not going out and buying ads in newspapers or print publications. You're not spending additional monies on online advertising. All of this involves is identifying these groups of people and then getting involved in their lives so that they remember you when they've run across somebody that has a real estate need. And it has worked beautifully for us. We generate 66% of our business on an annual basis from just staying in touch with these people.
You have each of your team members put together these three lists?
Absolutely, because we all, in the South, we like to say, we all run in different circles. My team's friends are not the same as my friends. And so each team member is responsible for this ongoing list. It's not a stagnant list. It's an ongoing list because one of my buyer specialists may bump into somebody at lunch today that needs to go on their hit list or help list, and they want to start implementing the programs we have to stay in touch with that person. Now, I gave you the categories of people in order of importance, and let me define importance, in order of how much we do for each group. You do more for your best friend than you do for the person you met today. And so in that target group, that top group, that most important group, we're communicating with them more frequently. We're giving them opportunities. We're inviting them to lunch. We're inviting them to not only one-on-one lunches, face-to-face lunches, but we're inviting them to lunches with three or four of our target 25 groups so that maybe they can help each other. We're also sending them a gift on their birthday. We're sending them something at Christmas, you know, time, different things, but we're doing more for that group than we are for the hit list or the connectors group because those people have our back. We expect 4 to 6 referrals per person in those groups per year. So if you've got 10 in your target 25 and you're doing these type things for those people and you get 4 referrals, you just did 40 transactions. It's absolutely astonishing how the numbers explode.
And so you say target 25, your goal is to have 25 people in there, but you might only have 10.
You might. I mean, really, in your life, Mike, if I were to ask you, how many best friends do you have?
Just one.
Right. The 25 is a number that we try to get to. It gives us a target. It gives us a goal. It's a goal inside of a goal to help us meet our transaction goal. I would tell you that there's very, very few people out there that would have 25. If you've got 25 best friends, really what that tells me about you is you probably are the best friend in the world. And that's great, and that's my goal. I want to be, in order to have a best friend, you've got to be a best friend.
Good. So people that are listening don't have to stress out if they don't have 25 people in that top tier. This is truly the top tier, and it may be smaller than 25.
I would tell you that if you're starting this program today, you might have 3 or 4 in that list. But your goal is to grow that list, to take people out of your hit list, which is going to be a tremendous list. Now, if I were to say, Mike, how many people do you think you know in your market?
Thousands.
So that could be a tremendous list. Your goal then is to take your hit or help list, whatever you want to call it, and okay, I've got an opportunity to move Joe Smith into my target 25. How do you do that? By being his best friend, by being involved in his life, by helping him accomplish his dreams. What I have found when I implemented the thought process of I want to get involved in someone else's life and help them accomplish their dreams, it was amazing how many of them wanted to help me accomplish mine. And it's really a law of nature called the law of reciprocity. But I also want people to understand that by making one phone call, they're not all of a sudden going to be your best friend. It typically takes at least 8 to 15 unique communications for you to even get involved in their life. A good friend of mine describes it as saying, I want you to get in their canoe and go down their river with them. And if you do that, and you're there for them, and over time they realize you're there for them, they're going to be there for you. If you've got someone on your hit list and you know that their child is a dancer and you know that they're going to be competing on a certain weekend in a dance competition, call them and ask them how it went and be genuine about it. You know, if they didn't win, I'm sorry. I'm sure they will next time. What can I do to help you? But that's how you get involved in their life, and by getting involved in their life, they will move forward and move into your target 25.
Now, Les, you've mentioned that you have a system, a structure for this to try to take these emotional connections and try to push them forward. So what's your system for taking these groups and turning it into business?
Well, the first thing we do is with our target 25, we've got certain things that we're going to do with those people every year. They're going to get a monthly phone call minimum from my team member that they're in that group. They're going to get quarterly opportunities to win things from us. We send out a post. Sometimes it's a direct mail piece. Sometimes it's an email piece. And give them opportunities to win. Kindle Fire is what's coming up next. Another thing we give them an opportunity to win is 25,000 frequent flyer miles, which will get them really anywhere in the United States on a flight. We give those opportunities. We also have two events per year that they are especially invited to. Not only do they get an invitation, but they get a phone call inviting them. And those events, one in the summer, one more in the winter type time, that we do for them. And they get priority situations going on with our team all the time. So it's an escalated communication. Now, what you have to do, this is a real simple concept. Our systems are centered around how often we're communicating and what we're doing for that particular person. But you've got to become a genuine person. And, Mike, I want to tell you what turned this around for me, because when I watched this particular movie, and it changed my entire life. I've been a person that was all about goals, set number of goals. I want to do this many transactions. I want to make this much money. I want to do this. It was all about number of transactions. But I had a good friend. He was actually, we were talking about growing our lives, and he said, well, do me a favor, Les, I want you to go watch The Bucket List. Mike, you ever watch The Bucket List?
Yes.
Okay, so you know the movie. While we were talking, he said, well, Les, what's on your bucket list? And I said, well, you know, this is going to sound very, very egotistical. I said, but I don't really need or have a bucket list. If I want to go do something, I go do it. If I want to fly to Denver and go snow skiing, I'll call, book the flight, find a place to stay, and I'm going to go. I don't have to put it on a list that I'm going to do this one day list. And he said, oh, well, okay, watch the movie anyway. So I was watching the movie, and I was sitting there with my notepad beside me, because I thought I'd never seen the movie. But I knew the concept behind it. I thought I knew the concept behind the movie. And I was sitting there with my little notebook and my pen, and I put on the movie, and I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm thinking I'm going to be writing a list of all these things I want to do. If you remember the movie, you know, go to the pyramids or drive a race car, or I thought that's what I was going to do. And about halfway through the movie, it hit me. And I'm sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden I realized I want a best friend like that. And then what was really astonishing, and it really changed my entire life, was probably within a couple minutes of saying that. And I think I was sitting there by myself, but I think I actually said that out loud. I want a best friend like that. And probably 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 5 at the most, I completely shut down. I completely lost control. And I said, I want to be a friend like that. And so that changed my entire life. From that day on, I took that and said, okay, I'm going to make everybody's life that I come in contact with better. Whatever it takes, I'm going to make it better. And when I started doing that, these systems that I've been using for years, and keep in mind, this didn't happen until about a year and a half ago. But when I started doing that, these systems that I've been using for years all of a sudden came to life. It just all of a sudden people were just pouring in referrals. People were calling and checking on me. How are you doing, man? Things going well. What can I do to help you? And it clicked. It made the whole world make sense all of a sudden. That while I was helping people through the real estate industry, and that's what we do. We help people. We either help them find new homes, or we help them get out of homes that they need to get out of, or help them move to a new area for job transfer. We help people. But when I finally understood what helping people meant is when it took this part of my business philosophy to a whole new level.
I assume that that's affected the quality of the communication that you have on each of these contacts.
It certainly has. It's made such a tremendous difference because I am now listening better. I've heard for years the good Lord gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should listen twice as much as you talk. So many times as salespeople, we don't do that. But now I listen better, I understand more what people need, what they want, and they can tell when you really adopt that philosophy, they can tell that you're looking for a solution that will help them, not one that is solely motivated in helping yourself.
Because of this experience, this revelation, have you increased your target 25?
I have. This is a sad thing to say, but when I made this revelation and I got real honest with myself about this target 25, and remember how I described them to you, it's the person that you know has your back in any instance. I described it as simply as who would you call if you had a flat tire on the side of the road, or, you know, if you were having a life crisis, who would you call? I didn't have any. I didn't have any that fit there. I thought I did. But when I really sat down, and I can honestly tell you today that I have around 12 to 15 of those people that I know would come to my aid no matter what's going on. And it's made a tremendous difference. And I know we're talking about more about your life and how you function in your life right now, but the spillover into your business, I'm not just trying to tell you to be a better person in your life. The spillover into your business is phenomenal. I get at least 3 phone calls a day from those 15 people with a real estate lead.
So you've been able to improve the quality of your personal life and the quality of your business at the same time.
Absolutely the same time. Absolutely the same time.
You mentioned that in your Target 25, you make these monthly phone calls. What do you talk about when you make that call?
It really has absolutely nothing to do with real estate unless they take it to real estate. I'm calling. I know everything there is about these people. For instance, is one of the gentlemen in my Target 25. I didn't even know him. Well, we're probably coming up on 6-7 months. At this point, I know everything about him. I know that he was an all-conference center in high school. I know that his wife, Sherry, they met in high school but didn't date because she thought he was a loser. I know that they have two children, and I know right now I'm the only person on the planet other than them that knows that she's pregnant. I know everything there is about them, so I pick up the phone and call them. Now, when I say monthly, a system, understand my philosophy on a system, is your minimum standard. I talk to this guy probably twice a week. If not, it just maybe for a couple minutes. Hey, man, how's it going? He owns an insurance company. I'll talk to him about insurance business. You know, what's going on? How's this going? Again, that's a minimum standard. We go to lunch probably twice to three times a month. We get together and go to dinner. I just had a birthday. He coordinated my entire birthday celebration. So I know everything about these people, and they know everything about me. So when we talk, it's like, well, Mike, when you call your best friend, what do you talk about?
Oh, real estate.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? If your best friend wants to know about real estate, you have no problems having that conversation. But does your best friend know that you're in real estate?
Oh, certainly. They, as you said, they know everything about you, and you try to figure out everything about them as well.
Right. And you and then take that information and try to help them and try to do things to help them accomplish their dreams. You know, this gentleman I'm talking about, I helped him accomplish a dream. He wanted to live on one of the lakes here. And so I helped him accomplish that dream. Now, that was real estate. It was an extremely lucrative transaction for me. I received a $20,000 commission check for that one transaction. That's a pretty good check for my market. But, you know, he would not have done that with anybody else. Nobody else. And then he turned right around and referred me to someone else in his sphere of influence, his Target 25, who has now become part of my Target 25, and I sold them the property right next door.
And so that's the other benefit of this system, is that you're not only working your Target 25, your sphere of influence, but you're able to tap into the sphere of influences of these really tight-knit relationships in your Target 25.
Absolutely. And look at it this way. It grows your influence exponentially. And what I'm saying that is, if you've only got 10 people in your Target 25, let's just assume that because you only know 10 people, that all the people in your Target 25, the 10 in there, they only know 10 people. Well, all of a sudden, you just gained influence over 100 people without really doing anything other than being a good friend. And, it is so rewarding. I've gotten referrals my whole career, and it's because my team and I do a great job in the transaction. But now the difference in the referral is when the person calls, they will say, such and such told me to call you because you would take care of me. Not such and such told me to call you, and leave it at that. And so it's a whole different level. And when you get to that level, that's when people, they go out of their way to refer people to you.
Les, are you saying that prior to this revelation, watching this movie a year and a half or so ago, you didn't experience those type of referrals?
I experienced referrals because I've always been good at what I do. I've always been a market leader in that I know what's going on in my market. I have what I refer to on my team as 100% market knowledge. We strive for 100% market knowledge all the time. What's on the market? What's been sold? What's getting ready to come on the market? How are those things going to impact the current market? Do we have something happening that's going to impact this part of the community? We have 100% market knowledge, and because of that, we've had success in selling properties. Because of our success in selling properties, we've gotten referrals. If you're good at something, somebody's going to refer somebody to you if you've had the opportunity to work with that person, most likely. But what I'm saying now is the referrals are still coming, but instead of just saying, you know, Joe Homeseller told me to call you because you can get my home sold, that statement now becomes Joe Homeowner told me to call you because you will take care of me.
Sure. So it's a deeper level of trust off the bat.
Right from the get-go. And this is, we talk about this on our team all the time. We want to become our client's best friend. And it's purely business motivated in that, Mike, could you fire your best friend?
Wouldn't be pretty.
It wouldn't be a good situation. And you're going to give your best friend the benefit of the doubt, aren't you?
Of course.
And you're going to give them every opportunity, even sometimes too long, to prove themselves. And so we want to become that best friend. We want the referral now that says, hey, Joe Homeseller told me to call you because you'll take care of me. Not just Joe Homeseller told me to call you.
Les, going back to the system and the structure for a minute, you talked about the monthly phone calls. That's a minimum. You've also mentioned you want to give them these quarterly opportunities to win. You said you're sending that information out by mail and email, and you're giving them opportunities to win a Kindle Fire or frequent flyer miles. And then you also mentioned that you're having two events per year. What kind of events?
Well, the first event, and we just actually instituted this event this past summer. I had mentioned earlier, Mike, that we're surrounded by lakes here, beautiful, beautiful lakes and beautiful waters. And so I put together an event for the first time this past summer, and we called it Floatapalooza. And no one had ever put together a party. We subtitled it Lake Kiwi's Largest Party Ever. And we put together this event. I brought in a band, an up-and-coming band from Nashville, Tennessee. They're awesome. And then a band from Greenville, South Carolina, that the lead singer actually made it to semifinals on American Idol. So very good bands. We put in a beautiful stage, great sound system. And we just really promoted through our Target 25s and our hit lists and got people to come out to it. Now, what did my Target 25 get that nobody else got? They got to meet the bands. They got to be on the front row. And what we did is we put the stage right out next to the water. So to watch the concert, the all-day concert, you were actually in the water, either on a float or on your boat. It was a wonderful event. Not only did it reward our sphere of influences, we had other people coming that were part of their sphere of influences. We had about 125 boats there. And it was a wonderful, wonderful event. And now we're going to take that event, and we promised at the end, I got up on stage, which I couldn't pass the opportunity with a huge PA system. I got up on stage, made the announcement that this was the first annual, got a huge, huge cheer from the crowd. It was just a wonderful event. But we're taking that event now. And I'm forming a nonprofit organization, and we're going to turn it into an event to raise money for a charity, local charity. And so that's giving back to my community. That I rewarded my Target 25. They helped me promote the event. It was just a wonderful opportunity. That's going to be our summertime event now, and it's going to serve many purposes. My Target 25 group will always get to meet the bands in person. They'll get to talk to them, just make them feel special. They always get the first row. We put in about 12 boats, and that's where my Target 25 get to be. They're on the first row. So they get special privileges at that event. The wintertime event that we do is a Santa Claus party, and it's a lot of fun. So those people get to come to that event. That's the two big events we do. Now, we also do, with our Target 25, a lot of personal face-to-face meetings, like over lunch or a coffee or dinner. And then we also do what we call group Target 25 meetings, which will bring three or four small, intimate groups of our Target 25s together. And we try to put people together that maybe can benefit from each other. If you've got a builder or a developer and a guy that builds roads, we may try to have that lunch with them in that same group. We want the group to feed off of each other.
Have you standardized these smaller personal meetings? For instance, did you put a budget together so your team members can bring out their Target 25 to lunch or coffee, or these small groups? Is that formal, where the company is providing the location and the drinks and the food and whatever else, or is it more informal, where you're just paying for that out of your pocket?
Well, and that's even the better part. I have shown my team members how this works, and they, because it works so well for them and them getting referrals from their Target 25, they're paying for it out of their own pocket. It makes a huge difference in their personal lives, and that's what they've learned. Now, if they had an event, my team will come to me, an individual, my team will come to me. I'm a member at a local country club, and occasionally you can only get in if you're a member, and they'll come to me and say, can I take such and such out to the club and feed them lunch? You know, give them, yeah, go ahead. I don't spend my food minimums anyway, so go on out there and eat something on me. So occasionally that's the case, but it's not an every-time situation. This is where I'm teaching my team that these are your best friends. Would you come to somebody else and say, hey, Mike, you come to me and say, Les, would you pay for lunch for me and my best friend? But they're getting these referrals from their friends, and they see how it works. It works very well. Now, you could certainly do what you said and put together and say, hey, you've got $30 to take this person to lunch, or one person from your Target 25 once a month, or something like that. You know, the team would pay for that. But I believe if you can sit down with your team, you can show them how this works. And it's just talking about your best friends and how this is going to impact their business. I mean, the two buyer specialists that I have right now have both increased their business by 25%+ this year based on this one program. Why would they not want to take them to lunch on their dime?
Les, let's go back for a minute before I forget. These events, first the Float-a-Palooza on the lake, do you have banners up that have your name or your company name displayed?
Yes, on the stage.
Very good. So if somebody were to come in on a boat randomly, they could see what's going on, and you would be promoting yourself at some level, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. We promoted the Les Walden Real Estate team just as a promoter of the event. Les Walden put a lot of personal time. Les Walden put a lot of money into the event. But what I did after doing it this summer is I've already had four or five bands contact me wanting to be a part of it. I've had a couple different people that would specialize on the lakes and marinas and boat dealers come to me and say, hey, can we become a part of it? So that's kind of what prompted me into saying, okay, I can use this as a tool to better my community by making it a situation where I can raise money for charity. Because if I can offset the expense of the event, then we can raise money for a charity. So now I'm looking to be able to do that. But the first one, yes, we had a beautiful big stage. We had a sound system. I hired professional sound engineers to come in. They brought all the sound system in. It was actually, if you're familiar with the Zac Brown Band. It's the guys that do sound for Zach. So they came in, put in a beautiful sound system. Of course, it was pointed out across the lake, so sound carries beautifully across the water. It was interesting as we set the event up. It was on a Saturday. As we set up the stage and the sound system on Friday, the sound guys got finished about 5 p.m., and they wanted to run through a test. Okay, that's awesome. So they just hooked up an iPod and started playing music through the speakers, and it took them a little bit because they were testing each individual speaker, and then they got through the test, and they said, okay, you ready to hear what you're going to have here? And I said, I've been waiting for a little while. And they cranked it up, and it was so amazing. We're standing there listening to the music, and it was actually some Zach Brown music they were playing, and two boats, about 1,000 yards off of the coast was going by and stopped dead in their tracks and turned and came up in there where we had it all set up. And so they said, wow, we'd heard this was going on, but this is what you're doing? And they went and actually started promoting the event even more the day before. So we had a lot of fun with it. And so as people pulled up and then actually, and it was not planned at all, I kicked off the event, welcomed everybody to the Floatapalooza, and thanks for coming, and kind of got the crowd geared up. Of course, again, it was a giant PA system. I couldn't help myself. And then about two-thirds of the way through the event, which each band played about 3 hours, so it was about 6 hours of music. But a guy, it's a probably be in my hit list. He's certainly not in my target 25. Got up on stage, walked over to the microphone, got permission to walk over to the microphone, walked over to the microphone, pulled it off the stand, and said, I want everybody here to give a big round of applause for Les Walden, because he's the man that put all this together, and he's the man that's done this so y'all can all have a great time. It was probably the biggest cheer of the day.
That's fantastic. Les, how much did this whole thing cost you?
Right at $5,000.
And you'd do it again, so it must have been worthwhile.
It's definitely worthwhile. I'm very excited about this upcoming event this next summer. I've got people asking me about it and talking about it, but I'm excited because now I can take something that I wanted to do and turn it into a thing where I can help improve my community. I can give back to my community. And ultimately, that's what I'm talking about doing with each and every one of the people in your Target 25 or your hit list, is how can you get involved in their individual life to make their life better? Now I'm taking that to a huge scope and saying, what can I do to make my community a better place?
Did you also have people out on the beach that were watching the concert?
No, we required everybody to be in the water.
In a boat.
Yeah, they had floats too, and jet skis, and boats. And we did, because it came up last minute, but because some people started communicating with other people and saying, we don't have a boat, how do we get there? What we did was we went to Walmart and bought every little plastic float that you could blow up, just a little inner tube float, round float, and blew them up, threw them in the water. And then we had one buddy of mine that has a 24-foot boat, and we started communicating with people saying, meet at this spot, we got a boat taxi. And we'd run the boat over there to a dock on the lake, that people would get on the boat, he'd run them back and drop them in the water, and they could grab a float. And they could stand up, too. I mean, the water is a gentle takeaway. It's kind of like walking out into the ocean. It was just a gentle takeaway where we set this up. But if they wanted to float, they could grab a float. They might see somebody they knew with a boat. They'd crawl up on their boat. Or you had somebody like me that probably was on 50 boats during the day. I went to probably 50 different boats just talking to people and, you know, enjoying the event. So,
Les, tell us about your Santa Claus event. What is that?
Well, what we do is there's a local gentleman that honestly thinks he's Santa Claus, and he looks like Santa Claus. In August he starts growing his beard. He's got beautiful blonde gray hair, and he grows it out a little bit longer. And come December 1st, he honestly is Santa Claus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's the way. If you were to come up to him, and if you were walking down the street, you wouldn't even, and he's dressed in normal clothes, you would say, wow, this dude really looks like Santa Claus. And if you went over and you introduced yourself, he would introduce himself as Santa Claus come December. So what, knowing this gentleman, I've just put together an event with a professional photographer. We invite, really in this event, we invite our Target 25, our hit list, our connectors, anybody that wants to come to the community, and he will set up and allow anybody to take pictures with him. We've got the professional photographer there that's taking the pictures, and we give the people the pictures. We just give them to them. And the kids come, and it's just a wonderful event. We typically have coffees and ciders, and we don't provide a lot of food, but the parents have things they can drink, and they get to talk to each other and co-mingle, and it's just a wonderful event that we put together. Kids, of course, all want to have a picture with Santa Claus. Most of them do. Some of them get a little bit nervous. But it's just a fun wintertime event. I've got a summertime event. It's a wintertime event. So that gives us our two a year.
Plus, before I forget, I want to go back. You have told us a lot about the Target 25 and your system for contacting them. Talk to us now about your hit list and what type of system do you have there for contacts and frequency of contacts.
Wonderful. And remember, your hit list is probably going to be a very large list. These are people that you've met through the years. They could possibly be past customers and clients. Just anybody that you want their business and or their influence in your business. And so while they're not your best friend, and you may have other people you term as friends, you don't get together as frequently with those friends. You don't maybe buy them a gift for their birthday. You don't do some of those things, but you still communicate with them. And if you see them, you certainly acknowledge them and communicate with them. So really all we've done is taken our Target 25 plan and just backed it down a little bit. We certainly still try to communicate with them on a monthly basis. And we like to mix it up. We call it unique contacts. One month it may be a telephone call. Another month it may just be a handwritten note card. If we've got an email address, it may be an email. But your goal through those conversations is to get to know that person better. Again, if you know everything there is to know about your Target 25 group, the more you get to know about people in your hit list, the easier it is to move them to your Target 25 group.
So what's happening in one of these contacts that you're trying to get to know them? Are you promoting yourself in your business, or are you simply asking them questions like, what's your favorite color? I'm trying to get an idea of, is it standardized, and what is the essence of the contact? What exactly are you sending or saying to them?
Right. The content is not real estate motivated. The contact is more finding out about them. In the course of normal conversation, I don't want to sit here and tell you that we have a list of questions, but what I'm trying to find out is, through questions, is what's going on in their life? Has there been a layoff at their plant? They may be involved in, hopefully they weren't, but they probably know people that were. I use that as an example because that just happened. In our area, there was a 150-person layoff at a plant. I called somebody that works there more to check on them. They're in my hit list. Say, hey, is everything okay? I heard about what was going on. They told me about it. They said how sad it was, you know, that some of their friends got laid off, and how they were nervous about, wow, is the company going to do another round of layoffs? And just listened, and I was their friend. I allowed them to talk to me, and before the conversation was over, they gave me three names of people that lost their job and said, Les, can you call them and try to help them? Now, one of them led to a listing because the guy immediately got another job with another company out of the area. The other two haven't turned in anything yet. But because I called and had a specific person that they knew said, hey, they asked me to give you a call, see if there was anything I could do to help you. And that person talked to me. Now, it hasn't turned into anything today, but I will guarantee you that that one contact with those two other people will turn into a deal. They may not sell their house. Hopefully, they get another job locally that will help their families. But they're going to know somebody that's got to sell something or know somebody that wants to buy something. And because I called and was genuinely concerned and had this other person's name to share with them, it opened the door.
This is the end of part one. The interview continues on part two.